It's 12:06 and time for another edition of Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. To join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook Midday Matters page or send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio today by my art-centric partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And you know, it is the first Friday in March. It's the first day in March, and that means we're donning our Penhollow goggles, the outerwear for to embrace the season, and we're ready for a first Friday blast of local art centricity with our favorite art smarty, Steve Penhollow. And he, like the month, is coming in like a lion. In this first segment, it's we will hear you roar.
I'm going to do it. I got to build it up.
Okay, though, so. Build it up, because he's bringing us to a bomb shelter. Actually, that's Danny Pye and Alex Brown's stand-up comedy project, and Alex is here to talk about that. And after that, it's one of the local music scene's most avid members, Mike Conley, talking all things musical on his horizon. But first, as we simply love to do, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip to suggest that's a sparkling gem among the truly pile of treasures of this weekend's awesome art centricity you may want to consider. And what's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is something that's going on at the Dash Inn this weekend on Saturday. It's going to be a show with the bands Pouncer, House of Bread, and the Elkie Summers. That's Saturday, March 2nd, and the show starts at 10. The Dash Inn is at 814 South Calhoun Street.
That sounds like a very high energy lineup. Way cool. Now, I'm not quite cheating this week, you'll be happy to know, but I am choosing one of my very favorite venues, and Steve will agree, the 07 Neighborhoods Friendly Fox, the social hub of Southwood Park. I think that's safe to say. And I'm sneaking in, actually, and only a double good suggestion, because tonight's musical fair is Gene Donnelly III. He's going solo, which is always a treat. And then tomorrow night, it's Trinity Wiles and David Shearer in their most delightful Celtic duo, Not Work. So both performances are 6:30 to 8:30, and of course there's great food and beverage to enjoy while you're listening. That's 4001 South Wayne, The Friendly Fox, 6:30 to 8:30 tonight, Gene Donnelly III, and tomorrow night, Not Work. Was that allowable, Sarah?
I'll allow it this one time.
Okay, thank you.
I'll allow it.
And now, it's a lion's share of art centricity we're tackling, and coming in with a roar is our favorite First Friday king
lion.
Of the art-centric jungle, Steve Penhollow. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
What is there to roar about?
There's so much, including Mr. Alex Brown, who is a lion in his own right. He's got this new concept called the Bomb Shelter, and I'm going to let him talk about it. It is... It's kind of an interesting concept. Tell me a little bit about how it all came about and what the idea behind it was.
Basically, one of the things that myself and my wife and a lot of our friends consider ourselves writers, kind of first and foremost. She's in the middle of her dissertation doing big projects. I do little like blog things. But one of the things as a writer is it's very hard sometimes to do that publicly and collaboratively with other people. And most people consider themselves funny. It's one of those things that's kind of hard to prove often, except on Twitter or Facebook. And I think a lot of people, especially my age, like want to try stand-up at some point. But it's a really, really big, really scary thing to do. So we came up with this idea, called it the Bomb Shelter. And basically we're trying to create a safe space for first-time stand-ups to do 6 to 10 minutes of material. Knowing that they're not going to be heckled, they're not going to be booed, and that everybody in the room is on their side in this project. We did it once before in my mom's basement for 25 people. We've upgraded the venue significantly this time. We're at the B-side at One Lucky Guitar.
Very nice.
And we're really, really excited about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So now how do you guarantee that no one's going to heckle? I mean, that's...
I know you can't tell on the radio. I am very tall. I look sort of imposing.
You're tall for radio.
I was
thinking that earlier.
I project tall, I hope. But really, we do a little thing at the beginning. Our host is really cool about letting people know that those are basically the rules. And we invite people to come a little early, like an hour before the show, mingle, get used to each other. But it's basically just the vibe that we're bringing with everything in the show. We take the Bomb Shelter theme a little too far, probably, so all our snacks and stuff are labeled as though they're from the CDC. So it's like rations rather than stacks.
Very nice.
And we just take it to that extreme. And at least for the first show, everybody was really quick to buy into that idea.
Right.
So it went well the first time. Fingers crossed for going well again.
Now, how about, you said you had 25 people at the first edition?
Yes.
And how did that all work out? Was that your mom's basement? Was that your basement at one time?
That was not in the traditional way. There were pipe problems in our the first house after we moved back to Fort Wayne. Okay. And then we stole a room in her house. So we were living there.
But yeah.
Soon after the bomb shelter. But no, it's weird to have a show at your mom's house. To like have to do the awkward sign on the door as your friends pull into a residential neighborhood looking for this weird comedy thing.
Yeah.
But it added to the overall vibe of the show.
Right.
But we're very excited to have a more traditional, fantastic venue at the B-side.
Now, did you have obviously touched base with some folks who may have had the same mindset as you that they were a little apprehensive to kind of get out on that stage of some big local club so tell me a little bit about some of the people you've encountered and what was the experience like for them to do that the first time?
So the first show we did was great. We had four comics do it, and it was all people that I'd known through. Really, we just sent the call out kind of through Twitter and Facebook. And it was a bunch of it. When you offer that idea to people, it turns out that that's something a lot of people have held on to as a thing they'd like to do. And especially when you wrap it in the, hey, we're creating a safe space. You're not going to be made fun of, basically. Right. A lot more of those people come out of the woodwork. The cool thing is everybody we've had from the first show wanted to come back and do it again.
Right.
And since we're definitely raising the stakes we feel for this show, we welcome them back. That's probably the only time in the bomb shelter we're going to do that. We love the idea of this really being your first experience. So we're currently looking for more people who want to do it down the road. But everybody had a great time, and we're so glad they came back. And it kind of makes Danny and I feel like this is an idea that's got some legs to it.
Sure. So. Is this something you've done? I mean, have you gone up?
Going up on Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
I sort of hosted the first event, but I cheated the whole way and had notes and set myself up to be the person people would hate. So I told bad jokes about the Olympics mostly, because this was in July of last year. But now doing it for real is a terrifying experience.
Sure.
So...
How do you work? I mean, how do you work that up? I've always wondered about that. Like, you know, I remember hearing Drew Carey say that he learned how to be a stand-up comic by going to a library in Cleveland and checking out a book on how to be a stand-up comic. And I would say most people don't take it that literally.
Right.
I mean, how do you prepare yourself for this sort of thing?
I think for me and for a lot of people who are doing this, most of what we do on the internet is proto stand-up. Of, hey, I thought of a thing that's kind of funny. I'm going to sit on it for 3 minutes and get that tweet or Facebook status better before it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking that and then realizing how many statuses it would take to read in 10 minutes.
Right.
And it's a lot, and it's a lot harder than that.
Right.
But I think most of us are looking at it first and foremost as a writing project. We've got a couple of my poet friends are going up, and so it's different than a poetry reading, but it's similar vein. And then it's a lot of crossing your fingers and hoping it all works out.
Right. So. You know, it's funny you mentioned... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would just like to remind our listeners that this is WBOI's Midday Matters. We're being very art-centric today of a way we can only be when Steve Penhallow's at the microphone.
With his goggles on.
With his goggles and his roar.
And his,
roar
and his sex-centricity. You were going to mention that.
Yes, sex-centricity. another thing our folks, our listeners cannot appreciate
no,
on
they,
the radio.
Even in person, actually. It doesn't really work out that well.
But they cannot see your fantastic new hairdo, and that is what started a lot of this conversation. Also, the hilarity of the moment because
it the Tony Dow.
Okay,
from Leave It to Beaver.
I got
it's like
yeah.
One of those
I
old.
Well, some of us thought Tony was hot, so you are.
Well, there you go.
You are lucky that we're on radio. At least I'll say. And in the meantime, we are really having a good conversation. This being Friday Art Centric with Alex Brown, who's telling us about a fantastic new venue project in the making, because it's a way that folks can go to the bomb shelter and have a safe spot to be a comedian. I get it that folks would love to be a comedian and haven't, but then bridging that gap to actually getting on the mic, that is quite daunting otherwise. So this makes a difference, do you think, in your comedy mission?
Of the people I've talked to, everybody has two or three people in the audience who are coming because of them. We actually sold out before we announced the comics, which was a really cool thing because it meant people were networking that pretty well. So I think everybody's got a couple of faces that they'll just be able to look at and have that calm, reassuring breath. But then there are 45 other people in the room that you've maybe never met before. So that gets right back to being terrifying again. So we're asking people to take little baby steps and be as comfortable as possible. And then if it sticks, hopefully, go on and do something else with that. So it's kind of a launching pad, hopefully.
I really like the circle of fear that you're creating of safety and then back to being terrified. It's kind of cool. It keeps you on your toes if you're going to participate.
Yeah, it is not a conscious decision. The party line is it's a safe space and everybody's happy all the time. And then because I'm going up Saturday, the fear is just seeping out of my pores.
I had a question about the venue. I know you guys did your mom's house earlier, and now you're doing a new venue this time. Do you like the idea of keeping it a different place each time? And if so, is that something kind of the bomb shelter atmosphere? Like the bomb shelter can be anywhere as long as there are creative people there.
I love that it's worked out that way so far. The way that Danny and I, as a partnership, kind of plan things is very much, here's this event, here's the next event. So after we did the first one, we talked with Matt Kelly at One Lucky Guitar, and he was like, hey, if you guys want to do that again, you can totally use this space. And that was, more than anything else, the impetus for us to go do this again. So as far as where the next one will be, we have not thought that far yet. And it's one of my favorite things about the way we work. But we're super excited to be at the B-side. They've had fantastic bands. Yves Barzelay and Marat have played there. And Tim Rogers was kind of at the predecessor when they did events downstairs. It's a really cool space. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend going. And it's also intimidating to be following up names like that and be what often feels like a bunch of kids telling jokes. But we're looking forward to it.
And I'd also like to remind our listeners, if you have a question about the bomb shelter, about anything comic and this whole project, give us a call at 452-1185. We'd love to hear from you. Or post on Facebook. Post your question there.
What a wonderful segue, because I was just going to mention Facebook. You mentioned Facebook and Twitter. I mean, it's interesting. I'm older than you and remember the days when there wasn't any of that sort of thing. But I mean, I think what you have is you have that sort of virtual audience out there, and you know, you put a lot of goofy stuff on your Facebook page, and people LOL quietly. and it's interesting that, you know, you talk about maybe in the past people who didn't have that wouldn't get the idea that they were a writer, or wouldn't get the idea that they could be a stand-up comic or anything like that. But you're playing to this audience, and so tell me a little bit about that aspect of things.
I think especially kind of that, I want to say early 20s to mid 30s demo, who's kind of grown up with this idea or developed this idea that if I have something to say, I can throw it out to almost literally everyone I know. And within 5 seconds to 5 minutes, have a good chunk of them say, yes, that's a thing I like. I approve of what you did there. And that sort of gets the dopamine triggers going. And you're like, oh, that's great. And it's the internet version of getting that laugh for the first time, I think. So with this, we're kind of just shoving people ever so slightly to doing that in real life. Because that builds community easier. And it's, I think, more fulfilling for everybody who's involved.
Sure. Now, do you see this? It's something that Sarah touched on. Do you see this as being eventually being a rooted thing, you know?
Theoretically, that would be fantastic. One of the things we don't want to do with this idea is build it too quickly, and then find ourselves running into production costs that we're not prepared for and burnout. We're consciously building it very, very slowly. And so down the road, would that be fantastic? Yes, of course. Are there 20 steps before we get there? Yes. And we're really excited about the next step. That's kind of what we're always focused on.
Sure.
We have a caller on line one. Daniel, welcome to Artcentric Midday Matters.
Yes, thank you. My question is related to the audience and how the comic interacts with their sense of humor. Is there a particular kind of sense of humor that will either be at this show or in the comedy world in Fort Wayne? Are there different avenues for different senses of humor? Because sometimes I think I'm funny, but I can crack myself up. But I wonder if when I do, people might just be looking at me and like, okay, smile and nod, smile and nod. So, yeah, that's the basic question. I guess I could just describe my sense of humor a little bit. It has where I kind of go off on tangents that I have in my mind, and they all kind of interrelate into some sarcasm or irony or that kind of thing. But when the references are made, they don't always describe all the connections between the ideas that would kind of be a kind of dry humor, I guess, but I think maybe that describes a little bit. So that's where I'm coming from, and that's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things about this project for both Danny and I has been bringing in people that maybe we didn't know their sense of humor. And one of the coolest things about the room, and with everybody knowing going in that that we're all basically on the same page, is we do have tons of room for different stuff to happen. Okay. And I think one of the most fun things watching the first event was to see somebody go in a direction that you didn't expect or didn't expect to find funny. And either it's because they are super funny or because of the room or whatever, coming together as an audience to say, we weren't sure we were going to like this, but it turned out great, is a really cool experience. So if you're interested, just head on over to our website. Can I plug the website? Is that okay?
Yeah. Mandatory. It's
pycommabrown.com. That's P-Y-E. It's my partner's last name. Comma, like the punctuation, but written out because it's the internet. And then Brown, which is my last name, and like the color, .com. And we've got info about Saturday's show, which is sold out for the most part, but also a link to get into the queue for future shows down the road.
We have listed that on our Facebook page, too. So, yes, check it there.
And we have another caller on line two. Mark, welcome to Artcentric Midday Matters.
Hi, I'm fresh to the show. I missed a portion of this, and I think you just answered my question. I, too, like Steve, do a lot of Facebooking. And Steve, you'll know who I am. I'll just call myself Mark L.
Okay. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, man, what's up?
This is a funny guy. This is a very funny guy. In person and on Facebook.
I owe you $10 then, sir.
Okay, yes. It's going to go up before the end of the show.
So I was just curious about participation, and I didn't hear it over the phone, but I was curious about getting in contact with you guys and maybe stepping up to perform. I've done Snickers, and yes, it is a very frightening thing to do, and I like the idea of a safe haven where you you can actually explore this and not be killed by drunk people.
always a positive.
The drunk people here just hug you. Right. It's much nicer.
They're huggable. They're hugging drunk people.
But Alex, why don't you give the info one more time?
Sure. Our website is pycommabrown.com, pycommabrown.com, or of course go to the Midday Matters Facebook page.
And do you know when the next event's going to be, or I mean, do you?
We do not. So the way we're handling kind of booking in the future is if you're interested at any point, sign up as soon as you feel like it.
Sure.
And then we'll email that whole list when we have dates, and whoever wants to do that show can do it. If not, we'll keep emailing you as we do more events.
Oh, excellent.
Also, this is bouncing off of the last two callers that we had. Are there guidelines or rules or regulations? Is there language or content or genre that you disallow?
There has not been up to this point. We do market the show as 18 plus. And the form you fill out to sign up has three questions, and it's, are you going to say anything racist? Are you going to say anything offensive to the LGBT community? And I think the third one is, are you going to say anything that's offensive to women? Because that's not what we're trying to do here. And I think it's what a lot of people think is going to be funny. And as much as we want to create an inclusive environment, we want it to be inclusive of comedians, especially that represent those groups and aren't straight white guys. And to do that, we need to make sure that other people aren't going to offend them as soon as they walk in the
what
door.
What do you have against straight white guys?
Nothing.
Sorry, they're just not
kidding.
Funny.
Yeah, no kidding.
You can go to any other right. comedy show sure. yeah. and do right. that there. So.
It seems like this would encourage some experimental stuff, too. I mean, when you think about some of the hottest comics today, they're people who they're experimental. I mean, mm-hmm. they're on the edge. And to get to that point where you're not kind of, Dave Coulier or somebody, you know what sure. I mean, where you're doing a very kind of mainstream show, that takes a lot of courage to go out there, I think, that first 1,000 times and kind of be a little bit offbeat and mm-hmm. get to the point where that actually connects with a lot of people. So it seems like, you know, maybe this would be a good place for people to go up and kind of be the successor to Andy Kaufman or somebody like that.
Yeah, and we've had a little of that. My brother, actually, Graham Brown, was one of the comics at our first event, Graham Brown of the United State of Indiana, the t-shirt company that he'd want me to plug right now.
I heard you look exactly like...
We look nothing
okay,
alike.
Sorry.
It's insane.
I don't know where I heard that. That
maybe 75 times.
But on radio, that's when they look exactly
His set for the first show wound up being mostly just insulting Fort Wayne because he's now moved to Indianapolis. And so that was a different tone that everyone else took. And it was really interesting. And he did some iPhone-related bits where he was playing music off his phone.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, it gives you room to do whatever you want. Because I think the biggest question of how is this going to go over has mostly been taken care of by the concept. It's going to go over, if not fantastic, at least okay.
So what are the pie in the sky, and that is a pun, by the way.
Nicely done.
What are the pie in the sky kind of plans for this? I mean, where do you want to see it go? Do you want to see more people collaborate? Do you want to see, I mean, what kind of things do you want to see happen with this?
So a lot of what we're kind of trying to do across the board, bigger than Bomb Shelter even, is create these small to medium-sized experiences that are different than what you're getting elsewhere in Fort Wayne. We had a friend who was bit by a bat and maybe had rabies. And so we put together a weird poetry night fundraiser with our friend Katie Pruitt. And that was fantastic. We've done stuff like we did some Fort Wayne Valentines that the Midday Matters people were nice enough to share. And so I think ideally we're keeping a lot of this on the smaller side.
Right.
We're not sure if the videos of any of these comics will get up to the internet. We encourage people to come to the live show, and really kind of creating handcrafted, well thought out experiences for people who are interested in that kind of thing. As far as do we have like a building goal or something, at this point we're just trying to keep it organic as it grows and
sure.
see where it takes us.
Sure.
I think that there, kind of what you're saying is that there's the inner comedian in everyone, but do you think it's going to come out? I mean, do you think it's going to freely continue to roll out if you continue to offer such a venue to them?
Yeah, I don't think we'll have the problem of finding comics. I think one of the coolest things that's happened so far from the first event is that people who did it told their friends that it was a thing they should do. And so that we booked up on comics really quick this time around. So that's great. And if that keeps going,
it sure
it's awesome.
Is.
And if it turns out no one else wants to do it, the event will quietly fade away. We like it a lot. We're not desperately attached to any of this stuff. So,
would you ever think at some point of maybe doing classes or something like that, where it would get to the point where you felt maybe you or someone else involved felt strongly enough about it where you could bring somebody in and kind of go, okay, you know, this is my understanding of the basics of all
yeah,
this.
It's definitely been discussed. I think there is kind of a bigger picture, and to remove myself from a little bit, I think there is a space in Fort Wayne for somebody who does want to do like alternative comedy stuff. Right. I don't know that there's anybody in town teaching improv or long form improv especially.
Right.
So I think there are spaces for that. Whether or not we'll be the ones who fill those or whether someone else will fill them, I'm interested in seeing them filled.
Yeah, I know Dan Schwartz has talked about it over at his Wonder Camera.
It's
wants,
fantastic.
Wants to
venue.
Do some comedy over there, and so that may be a place to go. So
we have just about a minute left in the first half of today's program. So, Alex, any final words that you have? And I know that this weekend's event is sold out, but any tickets floating
there
around?
There are.
At all?
We have exactly 2 tickets available.
Whoa.
And they are available at tonight. Cinema Center and Jonah over there has been cool enough to book a movie called Alone Up There, where the director talks to a bunch of stand-ups and then goes and does stand-up for the first time himself. That's at 10 p.m. And if you go, the host of the event, Dirk Walker, will be there giving away two tickets. They are literally the last tickets we have. I got a text from a good friend this morning asking if we had more, and we don't. And I had to turn her down, and it was sad. So get to Cinema Center if you want to come. And if you're interested in performing in the future, it's piecommabrown.com.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Very cool.
We're going to need to take a short break here on Midday Matters. But before that, support for this program on WBOI is provided by Goodwill Industries of Northeast Indiana, helping people with disabilities and employment barriers find and keep jobs, accepting donated items at 9 stores and area collection bins. Details at fwgoodwill.org. And support is also provided by Parkview Ortho Hospital, offering a wide range of orthopedic treatments to help restore active lifestyles. Parkview Ortho Hospital, together with Ortho Northeastern, the web at ortho.parkview.com. We'll be back here on 89.1 FM WBOY for more art-centric Midday Matters in just a few moments.
On the next Fresh Air, a film that begins with terror in the sky.
This is Southjet 227. We're in an uncontrolled dive. We got a jam stabilizer or something.
Denzel Washington plays a heroic pilot who's an alcoholic in the movie Flight, now out on DVD. We'll hear from director Robert Zemeckis, whose previous films include Back to the Future and Forrest Gump. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOY News. The Speaker of the Indiana House says he expects legislators will order a review of the state's A through F grading scale for individual schools. Differing bills that would have done so failed to advance by House and Senate deadlines this week, but Republican Speaker Brian Bosma says lawmakers will take up the issue again this legislative session. Bosma says he believes most legislators believe the State Board of Education needs to make changes to the A through F grading system that was first used in 2011. Many local school officials have complained about the grading system, and Democratic State School Superintendent Glenda Ritz made replacing it a top campaign issue last year. The A through F scale was backed by former Superintendent Tony Bennett, despite opposition from Indiana Chamber of Commerce and others. Indiana's state climatologist says plentiful January rains have left the state's farmland in good shape for crops following last summer's record heat and drought. WBOY's Sean Beter has more.
Purdue University-based state climatologist Dave Nyogi says forecasts call for a warm and wet start to Indiana's planting season before drier conditions arrive during the growing season. He says parts of Indiana could see mild to moderate drought conditions later in the year, but Assistant State Climatologist Ken Skieringa says that mild to moderate droughts are not unusual at some point in Indiana during the hottest summer months. He says the extreme drought Indiana and parts of the Midwest saw last summer happens only 2 or 3 times every century, and back-to-back droughts are rare. For WBOY News, I'm Sean Beter.
State lawmakers say discussion over how best to implement the Affordable Care Act will continue in the second half of this year's legislative session. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, Republican leaders say uncertainty about the financial burden placed on the state by Medicaid expansion likely eliminates that option.
Fully expanding Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act would add around 400,000 more Hoosiers to the program. For the first 3 years, the federal government will cover the entire cost. After that, the cost would be split, with the federal government eventually contributing 90%. But Senate President Pro Tem David Long says he doesn't have confidence in that plan.
I don't know any leader, Republican or Democrat, in this country that I've talked to that, for instance, believes that in 2020 when it goes to a 90-10 share, that it's not going to be a lot worse than that.
Senate Minority Leader Tim Lannon says there's no basis for that lack of trust.
This is what the law is, and we have to make a decision, I think, based upon facts, not speculation.
Republican leaders continue to urge the federal government to allow the state to utilize the Healthy Indiana Plan, the state's health insurance program for low-income Hoosiers, as the vehicle for health care expansion. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Right now, it's cloudy and 32 degrees in Fort Wayne. Tonight, you can expect more cloudy skies with temperatures dipping down to 21 degrees. On Saturday, we'll have a high near 31 degrees with a bit of sunshine and temperatures dipping down to 17 degrees in the evening. On Sunday, we'll have mostly sunny skies with a high of 30 and dropping down to 16 degrees on Sunday evening. You're listening to Midday Matters on WBOI 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. The time is 12:36, and if you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185, post on our Facebook page Midday Matters, or send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio with my Art-Centric partner in crime, Julia Meek.
And it is First Friday Penhallow calendar we're following today. I hope you have yours out and at the ready, Sarah. And art-centrically speaking, Steve has plenty to roar about as we begin this month of March, and he's stalking Big Musical Game this segment and right now, aren't you, Steve?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I often stalk Mike Connelly, actually. He knows about it. We have an understanding. Mike, you are a musician extraordinaire, and there are so many projects to talk about, but you've got the Beef Manhattans coming up this weekend, right?
Yes. Yeah, actually, it's kind of ironic because we have had three gigs in the last 8 days.
Oh, wow.
And actually, one of them was at Dan Swartz's studio,
oh,
by the way.
Fantastic.
I heard you guys talk about that earlier. And that's such a cool place.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Yeah.
So, and we played last night too. And then this Saturday, tomorrow night, we're playing at the Mad Anthony Brewery.
Right.
So we're looking forward to it. So
well, tell me about, now, what is the Beef Manhattans? Explain what that is and what the, you know, how long it's, you guys have been together. And
We've been together, gosh, for about 5 years now. And we do jazz standards, Sinatra,
right.
Swing,
right.
You know, Rat Pack era sort of jazz. We do some show tunes
right.
as well.
Right.
So it's just a really neat diversion from what I do acoustically. Mm-hmm. You know, cause acoustically I do like the Eagles and Dave Matthews.
Right,
and then
sure.
now all of a sudden, and jazz is so such a challenge from a technique standpoint to sing.
Right.
You really wouldn't think so because people automatically hear range.
Right.
Like, all right, well, Frank Sinatra, maybe he doesn't have that big of a range.
Right.
But boy, oh boy,
right.
it's really interesting and difficult to sing jazz.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Well, and you're basically a rock guy, right? I mean, rock, folk. I mean, did you, which came first for you?
Rock.
Yeah, sure.
Rock.
Right.
Kiss.
Yeah, right, sure. So how did the jazz standards, big band kind of thing come into it for you?
Well, for me, I just enjoy the music.
Right.
I mean, I think anybody who just sits back and says, well, I want to try and do that kind of music, you have to enjoy it first, because if you don't, then it shows.
Right,
I mean, it has to be a passion, and
right.
and I just love that style of music.
Right.
I do.
Right.
So, and I and there's four of us, I love the guys that I play with. I think we have one of the nicest bands in town. You know,
you know what? Dave Nelson's one of the
yes.
fearless four, and who are the other two then?
Dave Nelson plays upright bass. John Moss plays drums, and then Todd Phillips plays piano.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And actually Kent Cleese sat in the last couple gigs because my guy John Moss couldn't do it. Actually, Kent will be playing with us tomorrow night. So
okay.
And you guys all know Kent Cleese.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So.
Well, and this one of the great thrilling things about your musical career is that a few years ago you put together a dream CD of Christmas standards.
Yes.
And and then that parlayed that into an appearance with the Philharmonic at the Holiday Pop Show. So
yes.
you played in front of a full orchestra at a la Frank Sinatra
yes.
in your finery. Tell us about that and what an amazing experience that was.
Well, I mean, as a musician, to be able to be on stage at the Embassy Theater with a 70-piece orchestra behind you. Right. It just doesn't get any better. I mean, my career is pretty much downhill from here. I mean, I just can't top that one, man.
Exactly.
You hope. But but that was just a dream come true for me. I'd do it every year. You know, in fact, I call them once a week.
Right.
Hey,
sure,
what are
you
guys
want
doing
to do that
this year
again
for the holiday pops?
Right.
No, I don't really.
That's
but it was a thrill of a lifetime for sure. So, yeah. And Jane Heald, I should mention Jane as well. She's plays cello for the Philharmonic, and she did a lot on the Christmas album, and she was instrumental. I think she was in there kind of pulling for me to be able to do that show with the Philharmonic, and it's just been great getting to know a lot of the musicians over the years, and they'll come out to open mic once in a while, and we've done little mini Christmas shows at the Mad Anthony Brewery. Every year we do that, like the Monday before Christmas we always do a big Christmas show, and they'll come down with like a little four-piece quartet, you know, and it's just awesome. You know, they level the room.
Right.
It's awesome.
That's great. Well, you and I have talked about this Christmas CD several times over the years, and I think one of the things that kind of amazes me on your behalf is that this is something that people are going to pull out at Christmas, you know, and you're going to be right, exactly.
Every
like
year.
You're going to be part of their Christmas celebration, your CD. And I mean, that must be, given the fact that you loved that music and wanted to do that, it must be a huge thrill for you.
It was, it's awesome. You know, this past Christmas, I actually had somebody come up and he said, you know, because it's been out since what, the end of 2009, I released that album, and he goes, you know what, your Christmas album is a family tradition.
Yeah.
I go, really?
Yeah, sure. I've had other people say that. Yeah, I've had other people say that.
Is it the rockabilly version of O Holy
that's
Night?
What it was.
Is that
yeah,
what it was?
That's what it was. That's what put it over the top. Right. That's great. Now, is that still available? Can people get that?
Yes.
Where can they get that from?
You know, Wooden Nickel, they pull out the Christmas stuff every year. It's on iTunes, and you know, you can always hit me up on Facebook. I have hard copies also.
Right.
You know, I ordered 1,000 and then I ordered another 1,000. So I've went through quite a decent amount.
Sure.
Of them. So, but I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
And I would like to remind folks that this is WBOI's Midday Matters. We're trying to outdo our art centricity today. And for that, we have Steve Penhollow with us. And currently, we have the pleasure of having Mike Conley in the studio with us. Lots of people know Mike as Mr. Music, and Steve's got plenty of questions. But I would like to remind our listeners that you can call in your own questions and comments. And we had some Facebook comments even before the show, just when folks knew that you were on mic, and that's great. Give us a call, 452-1185, or post on Facebook if you would like to. In the meantime, I do have a quick question, because Mike, you are such the voice of music here, and so many people do know you, but a lot of musicians know, and well, that's so another thing that Steve and I are sorry, and Sarah, that you cannot see that on the radio.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Blushing too. But you promote music and musicians, homegrown, live, and local all the time. And one way you do that is being such a spearheader and organizer and participant in the open mics all around town. And why is that an important part of your life?
Well, I mean, gosh, I've been hosting that open mic at the Mad Anthony Brewery for, I think, like 12 years
Ooh,
now.
Yeah,
every Thursday night I'm down there, you know, hosting that. And there's so much great talent that people don't have an opportunity to see. Mm-hmm. And it's a forum that those lesser known musicians, and we still have a lot of, you know, like Dwayne Eby and a lot of the pros around
Core.
Town, they
mm-hmm.
still come down there too. And it's also an opportunity for people to get up there. They share their music. And it's so intimidating, and what's nice about the audience down there is they're very receptive, supportive, and then when they get done with their three songs, they're like, wow, that wasn't so bad. You know, but I mean, we had like in the early days, we had like the Definitely Gary guys
that
come down there and play the Brown Bottle Band. I don't remember the
Brown
Bottle
Band.
It's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Lee Miles and Kyle Morris met at our open mic night.
Oh, that's great.
So it's really been kind of a really cool kind of a launching pad for a lot of musicians. And I'm really proud of that. I'm as proud of it. And I try to help them out. I think that I've never viewed it as a competition.
Right.
I have always viewed it as, you know, let's try and help each other out. And I'll have people that, hey, you know what, I can't play tonight. Are you available? Or, you know, next Friday, are you available to cover for me? And, you know, so I think we have a really good, strong musical community. And you guys are a big part of that, too. I mean, you really are, you know.
It's
really appreciate it.
We love live and local and homegrown musical goodness,
sure.
No doubt about it.
Yeah,
interesting as well that in the first segment, we were talking with somebody that's providing a safe haven for comedians.
Right.
And in fact, what you do is a safe haven, but even more so, I think, with musicians who don't have a band, who are single musician looking to pick up with other people or get the experience, they have a chance and you give it to them. And
absolutely.
We think that's wonderful.
And we've actually had comedians come down there.
Oh,
we've
really?
We've had comedians, we've had spoken word people.
Spoken word, sure,
And, you know, it's...
Tap dancers?
Whatever. Hey.
It's plate spinners?
Whatever they want to do. We've had puppeteers and... We've had some brilliance and we've had weirdness and it's all been great.
That's great. Now, how many bands have you been involved in over the years? You've been involved with some big ones. Biggins.
Well, I don't know if I've been involved with big ones.
I reckon.
Though. I mean, I had like my Mike Conley band.
Sure.
And the very first band I was in back in the day was, nobody's ever heard of this band. It was a band called General Nuisance. And we just were a classic rock band that went out and... played dives, which, by the way, are the best places to play.
Yeah.
They are the best places to play.
Right.
And then we had a band called Larry Love, which we did, a bunch of Smashing Pumpkin songs and stuff like that. We actually opened up for Flock of Seagulls at Pierre.
Oh,
that was like
that's
our
great.
Big, that
that's
was our
awesome.
Big, monumental gig.
Fantastic.
But that was one of those deals where it was like a 6-month deal and it was over.
Right, sure, right, yeah, right, exactly, right.
And eventually it just got to a point for me, and then I had the Mike Conley band with my CD, my original CD that I released. And then it just got to the point where, as far as bands go, you have to worry about everybody's schedule.
Yeah.
Things come up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, maybe I should do a solo acoustic.
Yeah, sure.
And then I just worry about me.
Yeah, right.
My
sure.
schedule. So.
Right.
So that's how all of that evolved, I guess.
Now, how often do you go out? I mean, I have had the experience where I've walked into an art opening and there you are playing music. I mean, do you do a lot of that kind of stuff? I mean, do you...
Yeah, I get a lot of calls for private parties.
Right.
I really enjoy private parties.
Right.
I'm not into the let's play from 10 to 2.
Right.
In
right.
the smoky bar. I'm just not into that.
Yeah.
For starters, I go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so I don't know. I guess I'm glad where I am now musically with the Beef Manhattans, and I can also take my guitar. Last night at the show we did for the first time the combination of the two. We had the band play.
Oh, great.
The jazz stuff, and then I said, well, how about they didn't really want a band playing over dinner because bands mm-hmm. can still be a little loud. So I thought, well, how about some acoustic stuff? So it was a nice little mix. So we might kind of take some things in that direction too.
Oh, that's great.
Highly creative. And if you folks out there have a question for Mike Conley, this is your Midday Matters Friday Art-Centric chance to ask it. And all you need to do is call 452-1185, 260 if you're out of the listening range, or post on Facebook or...
send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. We actually need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more of Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI in just a few moments.
It's time to meet music. Hi, I'm Julia Meekin. What does this week's Meet the Music bring? A double shot of rock and roll, garagey blues style from the Slowpokes, and Next Exit sharing golden classics. That's Sunday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at nipr.fm. A 2-hour serving of homegrown delights right here on Meet the Music.
I'm Ira Flatow. Congressman Lamar Smith, chair of the House Science Committee, joins us on Science Friday to talk about the need to study asteroids that might hit Earth. We'll ask, show me the money. Plus, the strange radiation that came and went, and MC Frontalot talks nerdcore where rap meets geek, all on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
With the BBC's NewsHour, get an in-depth take on what's been happening in the world.
At least 5 people are dead and dozens more missing.
Because the world is always changing.
What's been the reaction then?
There is an overwhelming sense of anger.
And the BBC understands what those changes mean for you.
Bills and wages still have to be paid. Some producers couldn't manage.
The life of the world in an hour. NewsHour from the BBC.
Weekday mornings at 9, here on WBOI.
Welcome back to Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI 89.1 FM. 12:51 is the time, and if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio with Steve Penhallow, our First Friday co-host, as well as Julia Meek, and we're talking about Fort Wayne's music scenes and the happenings going on this week.
Absolutely. And you wanted to mention you have a solo gig at Columbia Street, which is a place you played often over the
years.
Tonight,
right after work, 5 to 8.
Right.
So people can come down and unwind a little
bit,
wrap up the work week.
Sure.
So I've been playing down there for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Used to play there every week, but now it's about once. They have a little bit more of a rotation.
Right.
I'm in there about once a month.
Right.
Love Columbia Street.
Yeah.
It's such a great venue.
Right.
Such a great venue.
Yeah, that's great. What, I've watched the music scene as a spectator for many, many years. And, you know, so many talented musicians, but I think the challenge is always, you know, most people aren't going to make a living in Fort Wayne. It's a sidelight. I mean, tell me a little bit from your perspective, you know, people have to kind of accept that it's a passion more than something else. I mean,
it is. I mean, I actually did music full time for about 5 years.
Oh, that's great.
But I was able to get, once again, I was able to get away with that because I was a solo performer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot easier for somebody to, you're going to make more money if it's one person versus a 6-piece band.
Sure.
You know, so I was, you know, in fact, I can remember at one time I had 25 gigs in 27 days.
Wow.
So I was really busy. But then it takes a toll on your body, too.
Sure.
So for those who want to maybe make a go at it and make a living at it, you're right. It's very difficult. And then, like I said, in order to do that, you have to play so much.
Right.
It's exhausting.
Yeah,
it really is.
Sure. Yeah.
So. But yeah, it was a fun 5 years.
And you got it out of your system if
exactly.
That was what you knew that
yeah.
you should do. And
exactly.
That's a good thing. When we were on that last break, we were also, because we do love to name drop, and we were talking about the things that make Fort Wayne so special musically. And of course, it inevitably came up that without What's Up, nobody would know What's Up.
Absolutely.
Oh, huge.
Absolutely.
And certainly as a musician, we'd like to hear your particular explanation of how that impacts the listener, as you know, the one seeking the entertainment as well as the entertainer.
Well, I just think it pulls the music community together, and everybody, if they need to know what's going on from an entertainment standpoint, they go right to that. I mean,
sure.
You know, it's been around long enough that people, I think the audience is conditioned to go to grab a What's Up, you know, whether they hang on to it for a week or whether they look at it for 10 minutes and toss it, they go to it.
Right.
And I think Doug Driscoll and all those guys at What's Up have just done a great job with that magazine. We're people don't realize how fortunate we are to have that.
Right. So.
Indeed. It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love for the community as well as for the whole musical world, musical kingdom.
Yes.
It is, of course, what I like to call it. And you are certainly a fine member of it, Michael.
Fine, upstanding member.
Having fun. Thank you.
So what do you, I mean, you know, that whole Christmas CD thing, I think, was such a surprise for you, just how, you know, how many little kind of, things spun off of that and little accolades and how well it did. And do you have any kind of pie in the sky things? Do you ever think we might do a follow-up to that?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, I've looked into, like, to me, it'd be a dream to be like a soundtrack
to
some movie. And I found this like movie. It was, I think it's called like White Trash Christmas. And once again, Oh Holy Night would have been the song to open that movie.
If only. Right.
You know,
yes,
you just have to, you just keep looking and looking. Last year we did a Christmas show at C2G this last Christmas, and it was hugely successful.
Sure.
And I got a hold of some friends, the Freak Brothers, An Unlikely Alibi, Hannah Bouchong, and Sonny Taylor, and we all did Christmas music the whole night. We did like half-hour sets. We all did Christmas music, and there was such an energy in that room. They were expecting like 80 to, let's say, 120 people. We got over 400 people came to that show.
Right.
It was
amazing.
Just,
so that would have been SRO pretty much.
Oh, it was
much, and
to see
fantastic.
The Freak Brothers do Christmas music. Yeah, it was pretty. It was memorable. So, so we'll probably do those sort of. You know, I think we actually have already talked about we're going to do that again at C2G. So, you know, as far as follow ups, I have a feeling I'll probably go back into the studio. It'll be tough to top the first one.
Yeah, sure.
But there's lots of Christmas music out there, so
you always want a good challenge too. So
yes,
double it up.
Absolutely.
So are you still you still write a lot of songs? I mean, is that, or are you just kind of focused on the material that you've covered up to now?
I wish I had time to write more. I really do, but you get so consumed with the real world and what's going on, and it's I suppose it's all right, but it can be somewhat of a distraction. I mean, when I write, I almost have to lock myself in the room for days,
right?
And I don't ever get that amount of time.
Sure.
You know, if I have the time, that'll be the first thing I do. So hopefully that day will come sooner than later, because I'm ready to write another album.
Sure.
You know, I really am.
Sure. So what do you think? I mean, when you look at the Fort Wayne musical landscape right now, and so many things are kind of growing and getting cooler, and what would you think would improve the music scene if it sort of came in or got pumped up or something?
Oh, boy. I don't know if we can do anything a whole lot different than what we already have going for us. You know, once again, you have the What's Up, you have the Sweetwater Sounds that are another gem for the community. You have a downtown that has people like, you know, Scott Glaze and Mike Packnett at Parkview, leaders, community leaders, that it's very important to them to have neat venues, whether it's a restaurant. So if we can continue to build in that direction, we'll continue to have places for people to play.
Sure.
So,
and speaking of, we have Parkview Field that welcomes and embraces music. I mean, there's,
absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
This town is hungry for and getting fed. And
yeah, totally. So I think, really, I don't know if we can do a whole lot more, just continue to maintain what we're doing
and
just keep going.
Right.
We have just a minute left in today's program. Mike, do you want to give the details real quick about the upcoming shows that you're playing?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Well,
no, I'm
thank
just
you.
Kidding.
Oh, he wants to be on the comedy show.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Tonight, Columbia Street West from 5 to 8. Tomorrow night at the Mad Anthony Brewery, we will hit the stage, the Beef Manhattans, at 8 p.m.
Great. Great. Thank you for being a part of Midday
Thank
Matters
you.
Today.
Thank you.
This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Mad Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1 and streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.